I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. And it all comes down to this. My last interview of the year, and for the foreseeable future, I am joined by my friend and colleague, Michael Kwan, the blogger and freelance writer. Visit his site at michaelkwan.com and read the blog Beyond the Rhetoric. We're so close to Christmas, and we'll look at what to buy gadget-wise, as well as see what's on Mike's radar at the moment. I want to plug briefly the Friends of Tupper Fund. Mr. Kwan and I are 2,000 graduates of Sir Charles Tupper Secondary here in Vancouver, and this year, as it celebrated its 50th anniversary, a scholarship fund was founded. I hope a lot of our old friends at Tupper who might be listening might consider making a donation. It's also year's end, and it'd be good for tax purposes as well. Friendsoftupper.com is the website. John Ellis, a 1964 graduate, has done great work in putting this all together. And the great 50th anniversary back in September. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Michael Kwan. Good morning, Mr. Kwan.
Hey, Joseph.
Hey. Well, you weren't there in September, were you? I don't think I saw you there.
No, I wasn't. Yeah. I wasn't able to make it.
Yeah. It's just a great thing that John's put together that I think we all should support, etc. You're writing a book, apparently?
Wrote. Like, the first draft was done probably close to a year ago now. We've just been fighting with the publisher to get things moving along. For now, it sounds like the timeline is it's going to be released very early next year, probably in January or so, but I don't think it's completely concrete yet, but it should be out soon.
And it's you and who else?
I co-authored the book with John Chow. He's a popular Vancouver blogger who's mostly famous for telling people how he makes money online, like how he makes money from blogging. He earns about $40,000 a month from his blog, and that's basically what the book is about. It walks you through the first few basic steps that you would want to take if you were interested in blogging as a career. So he's not the best writer, but he's really good at how to make money online. And I'm not as well versed with affiliate marketing and all of that kind of stuff. But I am the better writer, so we got together to finish the book together.
And so early January, is the book available? How will people be able to get the book?
It should be available through all the regular channels, Chapters, Amazon, etc.
Yeah. You recently reviewed the BlackBerry Bold, right?
Yes.
This is the new one, right?
Yes.
Like the one I have is the one that came out a year ago, and that's the...
You have the Bold 9000, yeah.
Yeah, this is what?
The one I reviewed is the Bold 9700. If you recall, around the same time that the Bold 9000 came out, there was the Curve 8900, which is a little bit smaller phone. And the thing with the Curve 8900 is that it didn't have the high-speed 3G. That the Bold 9000 had. So basically what they've done with the Bold 9700 is they've put the 3G into a package that's about the same size as the old 8900 with a few other upgrades to it. It has a better camera, etc. They've replaced the trackball with an optical trackpad. Yeah.
And you don't use a BlackBerry, do you, or do you?
No, I don't have a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
I have a Nokia E71.
This one that you got to use this, though, for a while, right?
Yeah, I had it for about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, and did you like using it?
Yeah, like if you're looking for anything that's dramatically different in terms of the user experience, it's not that different. If you've used any BlackBerry in recent memory, like the Bold 9000 or the Curve 8900, the operating system is largely unchanged. It's just that what you're getting is a slightly smaller package, has a higher resolution screen, better camera, faster processor, that kind of thing.
The trackball, they got rid of that, you said?
Yeah, like it's, the trackball has been replaced with an optical trackpad, so it's similar to the trackpad that you would have on a laptop, but a lot smaller. And the idea is that you'd still be running your thumb over it the same way that you would with the trackball, but you're less likely to get, you know, bits of your lunch stuck behind the ball.
Yeah, or sand or whatever.
Exactly.
I notice that my thumb hurts if you use it too often. I guess, the track pad is a lot better for that, right?
Presumably. Like I guess I don't use it for that long a set session at a time to get the thumb cramps yet. But
yeah.
If you're accustomed to typing a lot, on the block where using the trackpad is not really any different.
I play that game, that the Scrabble type game that they have on there, and that's where my thumb has. I think I have arthritis now in it. What's an HTC phone? Judy Tayabji was on, and we were talking about whether she has an iPhone or a BlackBerry, and mm-hmm. she says she has an HTC phone. Is that a brand, or what is that?
HTC is a brand that's based out of Taiwan. For a number of years, they made phones for other companies that were branded for the other companies, and they were popular in Asia and in Europe, but it was only recently that they've been able to make a bigger splash in Canada specifically. Like in the United States, they were making Windows Mobile phones for Singular and T-Mobile, and they were branded as a Singular phone or a T-Mobile phone, not as an HTC phone. So it's only been in the last, maybe about a year and a half, 2 years, that they've really tried to make a push of making a name for themselves. So if you're familiar with Google Android as the operating system, HTC is the first company that made the Android phone. Like on Rogers, they have the HTC Dream and the HTC Magic, and both those are Android phones from HTC. On Telus, they have the newer HTC Hero, which is also an Android phone.
Back to the BlackBerry for just a sec. I remember there was mm-hmm. a touchscreen BlackBerry that came out a year or so ago as well.
Mm-hmm.
Has that not taken storm, if you will?
It doesn't seem that way. Like I have a couple of friends that have the Storm, and they like it, but it hasn't really caught on with the mainstream audience because the touchscreen itself, it isn't as well developed as the one that's on the iPhone. And typically, BlackBerry users prefer to have the physical keyboard, and the on-screen keyboard on the BlackBerry Storm wasn't really fast enough for the people that were more accustomed to having a hardware-based keyboard. I applaud Research in Motion in making the attempt, but it's not where it needs to be.
And do you find that the trend is towards touch screens? I mean, I just love having the physical keyboard. I'm one of those people.
Yeah, me too.
Do you think that we're going away from that, perhaps?
I think that it's because of the iPhone that the touchscreen has become a lot more popular in recent years. Like, the iPhone wasn't the first phone with a touchscreen, but it was the one that popularized the format because it is more intuitive than the regular interface that people were used to on a phone. Fumbling through menus and that kind of thing. If they're web browsing, they can just tap on the link that they want. So I can understand why regular consumers would be more interested in having a touchscreen-based phone. But for myself, I still prefer having a hardware keyboard just because it's easier for me.
What about the Google phone? Is that out soon?
Google phone is a term that's kind of thrown around without having any real meaning in particular. Because originally when people were talking about the Google phone, they were really talking about Google Android as a platform, as an operating system. And that's already been out for a year or two now. But in terms of an actual Google-branded Google phone with no branding from someone else, there was a leak earlier this week about a phone called the Nexus One. It will be made by HTC, from what I hear, but it will not be HTC-branded again. It'll be branded as a Google phone, but I don't think that it's going to be all that terribly different from other Android phones that are already available.
We're in the midst of Christmas shopping. How much of Christmas shopping do you do online or on foot?
I do most of my shopping on foot. If I'm buying things for myself and I know specifically what I'd want, I might be more inclined to buy online, but in terms of the gifts that I buy around Christmas time, I do it more at a physical store because I am looking for things like clothes and stuff that I wouldn't really normally buy online. It's pretty different in the United States, but online shopping isn't quite as big in Canada for non-electronic things, largely. Like if you're buying video games and camcorders and laptops is perfectly fine to buy those online, but not too many people that I know buy their clothes and shoes and food online like how they would in the States.
Yeah, I've noticed that I've been, because I'm usually here in my office at 2 a.m. in the morning, and I will go online and buy, you know, books and the sort online. The Chapters takes debit now, so that's just a great thing for me.
The thing with buying online through places like Chapters and Amazon is if you're spending less than $39, then you have to pay for shipping, etc. And if you're already in a major metropolitan area, it's easy enough to just go to the store and buy it. At the same time, the prices through the Chapters website are typically cheaper than the in-store price. So.
Do you notice any trends in terms of what people are buying this Christmas? Like, is there anything that's a must-have, perhaps?
Not really. Like, the idea of buying gadgets and technology-geared things has become much more mainstream lately. You'll find people that are buying, like, the Xbox or a netbook or the Amazon Kindle or something as gifts that would normally have been reserved as, you know, a quote-unquote geek gift in years past. So,
have you looked at any of these readers, like the Kindle?
I briefly used the Amazon Kindle because my friend got one, and I can see the appeal of it, but I don't read enough actual books to warrant the cost of spending, you know, $300+ to buy a dedicated device for that. Around the same time that, well, not really around the same time, but Bindigo came out with short covers a while ago that were supposed to combat the Kindle in allowing people to read ebooks through a multitude of platforms, iPhone, BlackBerry, laptop, etc., so that they wouldn't have to buy a dedicated device. For whatever reason, that hasn't really caught on quite as much. So what they've done is, I believe they've partnered up with, I can't remember the name of the place, but there's a place in Hong Kong, Australia, and Borders bookstores in the United States to make a new brand called Kobo, K-O-B-O. And they are working on creating a Kindle-like device of their own, too.
IMQ, according to Sean Cranberry, it's called.
Okay.
Yeah, I know Barnes & Noble has a Nook. I think that's a new thing.
It's a Nook.
I just
sold out for the holidays.
Yeah, but I heard that on IMUS. I read a lot of books. I should say I look at a lot of books. I don't know if I would want to get a device like that. I can't see myself 2 years from now getting rid of all my books and going to something like that.
I can appreciate the convenience of it because you are able to download and buy books on the spot, have it delivered to your device on the spot. So I can appreciate the convenience of that, and it is greener in the respect that you're not chopping down a bunch of trees so you can read a book one time. But for a lot of people, they still want to have, you know, the smell of the book, the physical feel of a book in their hands. So it will take some time to transition to that, just in the same way that it took some time for people to transition to using iPods and MP3 players for the music instead of going out to a physical store and buying a CD or a cassette. I don't know anyone that actually buys physical CDs anymore.
Sean Cranberry's here in the room with me. Would you get a Nook or a Kindle?
Would I? Yeah, I think I would, if only for the perverse curiosity factor of what it's like and what the experience is like. The iPhone works for me. BlackBerry works for me. I think that all of these dedicated devices, eventually, it's just going to boil down to, first of all, the devices have to do more than one thing. I think that just reading a PDF or a text file, even if it's enhanced on a device like the Kindle, is like, there's no way I'm paying $300 for that. And I think that the file types have to become more universal. I think that ultimately it's going to come down to two or three really good gadgets that do a bunch of different things and one universal file that's really, really adaptable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be, what the rumors are saying is that's what the Mac tablet or Apple tablet will become. It will give you the same kind of functionality as a Kindle, but it will also have Apple goodness to go with it, you know, with Safari and iTunes and stuff. Obviously, that's going to be a lot more expensive than a Kindle.
Yeah, I just don't see people ditching books anytime soon. I mean, you're a technologist, Mike. Do you think that we will go away from books once in a while, sooner or later, I should say?
Eventually. I don't
really
see it. I don't see it happening anytime soon, but just like anything else, we are moving into a digital world. Like, I don't have a fax machine anymore. I'd rather push a PDF file and email it to someone else than to use a physical piece of paper. And the same thing is going to happen with books eventually. How far into the future, I can't say, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
I was in Costco about a week ago, and they're selling the complete series of Seinfeld in this black box.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
And a friend of mine says, well, because I was thinking of getting it, he says, well, don't get it, because eventually, a couple of years from now, you can get all the episodes on a flash drive. Is that something that you see happening soon?
I see it going one step further, in that you won't have to go to a store to buy anything at all. They already have these kind of services in the United States. They're not nearly as popular in Canada, but things like Hulu and Netflix and things like that, where there is no physical media involved anymore. Everything is just going to be streamed off the internet so that you don't have to deal with any physical media. Anything that you've purchased is just associated with your account, and then you can just watch it whenever you need to on your TV through a set-top box.
Like, I watch The Office on the Global website now. Like, I don't,
right,
because I'm never home Thursday nights.
Right.
I find that a lot of people are watching TV that way. Do you find that that's the case?
Right, yeah, because it's just so much more convenient, because then you're not bound to the regular schedules that the studios would put you into and TV networks would put you into. If you want to watch The Office on a Wednesday, you can.
Yeah.
It's much more user-centric.
Yeah. And for the holidays, what are your plans, you and Suzanne?
Nothing particular. Just kind of hanging around in Vancouver, having dinner with friends and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you when you're in town then. How's that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, best of the season. Happy Christmas to you and Suzanne.
Yeah, you too, Joe.
Thanks. MichaelKwan.com is the website. Michael Kwan on the line. As I mentioned off the top, I'm taking a bit of an extended break, and in my absence, I'm very lucky to have Sean Cranberry from booksontheradio.ca filling in. Do listen in Vancouver for the commentary.ca. I'm Joseph Plenum.